Morning, good morning. It's good to see all of you here. How's everyone doing? Good, good. Let me pray real quick for us. Father, we thank you so much for just this morning we could come together to worship you, Lord. Father, you are perfecting us to become worshipers of you. We thank you, God, that you kept us this week and that you are helping us, Lord. Draw nearer to you. We pray your presence would come. We pray you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, you would speak to each and every one of us today. Lord, especially those of us who need to hear from you, we pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's an honor and privilege to share what the Lord's been putting on my heart as I study Hebrews. Most of you have been with us through our studies of Hebrews, and you know, I don't know, is it a blessing? Most of you aren't Jewish, so a lot of these things probably don't apply to you, but it's in the Bible, so I think we should know it if it's in the Bible. Amen. Today's message, the title of the message is Embracing the Cross. Embracing the Cross. Have you guys ever really thought of what that means, embracing the cross? Of course, the cross, when it was mentioned thousands of years ago, isn't like it is today. Today, the cross is something beautiful. It's a sign of hope. It's a sign of love. People use it to adorn themselves with jewelry. They use it as decorations. Even non-Christians will use crosses as a way of making things beautiful, if you will. But of course, we know that the cross 2,000 years ago was a topic that people won't even talk about. They probably won't even utter the cross, knowing that it will evoke emotions of just sadness or anger or something like that, because the cross was used as the most torturous form of capital punishment. The cross was not a sign of hope. The cross was death, if anything. It would be like people talking about lethal injection or the electric chair and putting that on, decorating your house with, I don't know, electric chairs. In the 90s, there was a rap group that actually kind of used the electric chair as their logo or something. You guys know about that? It didn't catch on, see? Anyways, but embracing the cross, embracing the cross. Today's passage is from Hebrews chapter 10. It says, remember those earlier days after you see the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. Now, throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer is encouraging the congregation, the listeners, to enter in, to hold on, to endure. And today's passage is the same. Same thing. It says, remember, but today's passage is, he's giving us how to endure. He's giving us a glimpse on how to endure. Remember those earlier days after you received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. In our walk with God, the spiritual discipline of remembering is so vital. The spiritual discipline of memorizing and remembering. All throughout Scripture, we are exhorted to remember what God did. Remember when he led you out of Egypt. Remember when he sustained you in the wilderness. Remember when. There is a parable that Jesus gave, or not even a parable, it was a story of 10 people that were healed of leprosy, and only one remembered to go back and thank Jesus for it. Remembering is such a crucial discipline that we need if we're going to continue to walk with the Lord faithfully. We are to fix and focus and fiercely hold on to the past goodness of God if we are going to walk faithfully in the present moment with God. Because life is going to get tough. Life will get tough. You know, our minds and memories can be used to propel us into greater realms of faith as, I guess, wind to a sail can propel a ship forward. But our memories and our mind can be used against us as well to walk us away. It depends on what we're focusing on, right? Our memories. What do we focus on? Do we focus on the good times, or do we focus on failures or times when we feel God let us down? But here the writer of Hebrews is saying, remember the time. And it's interesting. Remember the time when you joyfully held on to conflict, not just for yourself, but even stood with those that were going through conflict. This is true not just in faith. This is true almost in all areas of life. If you're not going to use your mind to hold on to something that is good and true, you will give up every time. You will give up every time. Not just in faith, but even in, let's say, even in my pursuit of losing weight. So I'm trying to lose weight. I don't know if you noticed. I think I lost a couple. You know what happens when you start trying to lose weight? You start working out, right? And then your body starts aching. My body aches today. And when your body aches, you don't want to go to the gym because your body aches. And you make the excuse, oh, you know what? My body aches. I'm just going to rest it. Because it's important to rest your body if you need to gain. You know, you start using things the wrong way. Anyways, not only does your body start aching, but your body, it desires more calorie intake, right? You want to eat more when you're trying to lose weight because you're exercising, you're moving your body, and your body wants to sustain the weight you're at. So it wants to eat, it wants to consume more calories, and that's where it gets me every time. At night, it's just, I use food for various reasons, not just sustaining calories. So it's even harder because I use food to sort of de-stress sometimes too. But at night, that's when it gets me. I get really hungry and I start snacking and I start eating and I start, you know, eating more than I should be eating. Without the mindset of going into, you know what, I need to embrace it. I need to embrace the suffering. I need to embrace being hungry. I need to embrace going to sleep hungry. I will never attain my goal of getting under, should I just say what my goal is? 190 pounds. My goal right now, and you guys are saying, what? That's your goal, 190 pounds? Yes, that's my goal right now. It's to be under 190 pounds is my goal right now. But I will never reach that goal if I don't use my mind to just remember or even to embrace the suffering that it's gonna require. Losing weight, I'm gonna have to suffer. I'm gonna have to go to bed hungry, you know? I mean, we're so privileged that we have to choose to go to bed hungry. Anyway, that's another story, that's another thing. But I need to embrace that. You see that all the time. Those who embrace suffering are those that would eventually become the most successful, I believe, in any field. If you're not going to embrace suffering, might as well forget about it. If you're going to go into a field thinking, oh, it's going to be easy, I'm going to succeed. You know, me and Tom, we always talk about pastoring stuff about weekly. And, you know, both of us, we thought, oh, when we go into ministry, it's going to be so easy. We're going to go in, people are going to start coming, you know, people are going to love us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case. That wasn't the case. I don't think it's ever the case with anybody. It's not just there's something wrong with Tom. No, just kidding, Tom. It's not that there's something wrong with me or Tom. It's just that's the road you have to go on. That's the road to anything that you pursue. Especially if you're pursuing greatness. Most people, we don't pursue, embrace suffering. We live in a world, we live in a society where suffering itself is a negative thing. And, you know, there are times when you are going through unnecessary suffering. I'm not talking about that. There's always going to be unnecessary suffering in the world that we should all avoid. We shouldn't embrace suffering for suffering's sake. But if you're going to be on a road where God places you, you better believe that there's going to be suffering. Whatever road it is, whether you're going to be basketball star, you know, some of you are pursuing becoming a basketball star, it's going to be suffering. You guys want a sports analogy? I think you guys want a sports analogy. I remember one time, so in my younger years, I was a lot lighter, I was a lot more athletic. I thought I was pretty good in basketball. I was okay here in America, but I went to Japan to pursue playing professionally, where the town my mother lived in, they put in an ad, open tryouts for the professional team there. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to try out if it's an open tryout. So I flew to Japan, lived with my parents, and I tried out. And I remember distinctly, as I was just trying to get my body into shape, and my lungs were burning and my muscles were aching, I was thinking to myself, why am I doing this? Do I really want to do this? Is this really worth it? Let me tell you, in your walk with Christ, you're going to go through that. There's going to be times when you're saying, what am I doing? Is this really worth it? Embracing those moments is important. Embracing the grind, if you will, is important. If you're going to walk with the Lord, if you're going to walk with Jesus Christ and be his disciple, embracing suffering is going to be so key to walking with him faithfully. Whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whether you're retired, whether you're a pastor, there's going to be moments when you're going to say, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Is this really worth it? And the writer of Hebrews realizes the Christians, the Jewish Christians, they're saying that to themselves. They're saying to themselves, what am I doing? Is this really worth it? And he's saying, hey, remember the time when you first became Christian? When it says when you first received the light, it could be when they were first saved or just any general revelation the Lord gives you. Because whenever the Lord gives you revelation, it's just so exhilarating. There's a lot of just energy with it. Adrenaline rushes through when you feel like, oh, the Lord wants me to do this. This is so exciting. And for a moment, you're like untouchable. Even when the conflict comes, even when the suffering comes, you don't feel it because of the adrenaline rushing through you. But then what? The adrenaline is going to stop and you're going to start feeling it. And when you start feeling it, you're going to be like, is this really worth it? But remember that it is going to be worth it. Because he goes on to say this. Let me just say this. Our walk with God will become much easier. Much easier if instead of resisting, fighting, or denying the cross, denying suffering, denying the conflict, we learn to embrace it and everything that comes with it. Jesus made up his mind to endure the cross because he knew that that was the only way to enter into the true joy that was set before him. That's the only way. It goes on in verse 34. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. What does that mean? Lasting possessions. I think sometimes there's a notion that when we die, that's it. We go to heaven, we get a harp, and we sing. But the writer of Hebrews is saying there are lasting possessions. They traded earthly possession for heavenly possession. And not everyone will have these lasting possessions. But they suffered, not for suffering's sake, but they suffered because, yes, it will be worth it. We don't embrace the cross or suffering and sacrifice for the pain in itself. No, we do it because we know that there is a greater reality that is yet to come. Just like when I was, trying to become a professional Japanese basketball player, I wasn't putting my body through just all of that pain for the pain, but I was doing it because I wanted to be ready. I wanted to be ready during the tryouts that my body would be ready. It wasn't ready. I didn't make the team. It wasn't ready. I didn't put myself through enough pain. In fact, I probably wasn't ready when I asked myself, is this worth it? Why am I doing this? That moment when my lungs were burning, is this worth it? Why am I doing that? I probably lost there. That's when I lost. Not when I showed up and tried. I lost, you know, weeks before that. When I was asking myself in my mind, that's when the battle was lost. A lot of times the battle is lost even before the fight begins. Even before the fight begins, the battle is lost. In your mind, if you're not made up, yes, this is worth it. Yes, this is what I'm going to do. I understand the consequences. I'm just going to embrace it. If you don't have that mindset, you're going to lose. Because you know what? Honestly, in the moment, it's not worth it. In the moment, you can't just hype yourself up and say, yes, it's worth it. It's going to be so hard. Any athlete will tell you the same. Any professional, anything will tell you the same. A professional fighter, they know they have so much confidence going into that ring because month ahead, they were training themselves for that one moment in time of their life. And that's why you see like grown men crying after they win a fight. It's like, why are you crying? You just want to fight, you know? It's because they sacrificed so much before that one moment of their life and it paid off. And this is just simply like punching people in the face. Now imagine that, like this is for Jesus Christ. You know, this is for more than punching people in the face and getting a trophy. It'll take months, years, decades of preparation, maybe for that just one moment of time where you shine for the Lord. All the stuff you're going through right now, whether you're working full time, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether whatever you are, the everyday grind that you're going through is training and preparing you. For perhaps one moment of time when Satan comes and attacks you. And for those who are embracing the suffering now, when he comes, guess what? You get to sock Satan in the face. You get to punch him in the face and say, I've been waiting for you. I've been training my whole life for this. No. Jesus punched Satan. He gave a 3-punch combo to Satan in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. That moment of time, it wasn't because that moment of time he just, you know, conjured up all that courage and Bible knowledge. No, he was working his entire life for that moment. And we too are working our entire life for moments of when we encounter the enemy. They suffered along with those in prison and joyfully, I can't even imagine that, joyfully accepted the confiscation of their properties because they knew that they themselves had better and lasting possessions. You know, when things don't go my way, I am not joyful. I'm like, woo, yes. Someone hates me. Another person hates me. Yes. I love that. Another person said no. Yes. But these people, amazing. Amazing. They joyfully accepted injustices in their lives. Because they knew there was something better. And then they went and stood alongside other people that were suffering. Can you imagine? I mean, it's one thing to suffer yourself. But then I see my brother here suffering. And I say, you know what? You're not alone in this. Let me go and suffer with you. They did that. What a church. What men and women of God that they would do such a thing. Oh, the government took your stuff. Sorry, you know, don't come around here because they might take my stuff kind of thing. They didn't do that. They say, oh, the government took your stuff. I'm really sorry. I'll pray for you, you know. That wasn't their attitude. They said, oh, I shouldn't say the government. I don't know if it was the government. Oh, the religious leader, they took your stuff. You know what? I'm going to stand alongside of you, and I'm going to let everyone know that I am standing with you. And if they take my stuff too, so be it. This is what the Lord wants. That's just mind-blowing that they were at that position. And now they're ready to give it up. I don't understand. In 35 it says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Something came along that these were some of the most amazing believers you could think of, but something along the way came along to change their attitudes and change their mind. And now, I don't know what was going on, but they were tempted to throw all that away. They were tempted to throw all that away. I just want to say one thing. No, I don't. I want to say more than one thing. I want to say a lot of things. I want to say a lot of things. And I want to be careful how I say it. Because, let me just say it. There's going to be teachings that are going to say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be suffering. And it's going to come from like a Christian source. Maybe I shouldn't be suffering. Or maybe I'm doing something wrong because I'm being attacked by Satan and, you know, we're more than conquerors. Or it just doesn't seem like the blessings of God are on my life. And granted, there are times when we need a fight and the blessings of God aren't coming your way because maybe you are doing something wrong. But there are going to be times when you're going to be doing everything right. You're supposed to be where you are. You're supposed to be doing what you're doing. And there's still going to be storms in your life. Suffering coming your way. Injustices happening to you. And it's not because you're doing something wrong, but it's because that's what Jesus told us to do, is take the cross and follow me. And the cross was never to be comfortable or easy. It was never meant to make you feel great about yourself. Sure, the Lord will make you feel great. I'm not saying this is, you embrace a life of suffering. I'm not saying that it's all going to be suffering and that the Lord won't encourage you, fill you, give you what you need. And I'm not saying that the Lord's yoke isn't going to be easy at times, but I am saying this, that if you don't embrace the cross and all that it comes with, you might lose your way into something else. It is okay if you are fighting and you're tired. It's okay. It is okay if injustices are happening in your life. Not that we're not supposed to fight it, but this is what you should expect as a Christian. As a believer in God, you should expect opposition. And when I say there, it's okay for injustices to happen, I'm not saying we should allow for it and we should turn a blind eye to that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is going to come your way. When you're walking with Christ, you need to expect these things to come your way. And the Lord will give you wisdom on how to deal with it. But remember that as you're dealing with it, these are all things that are supposed to come your way. And that these things are doorways to greater rewards and possessions in your life. I hope I'm making sense. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. The will of God. When you have done the will of God. The will of God will lead you into some of the hardest roads you've ever walked on. During those times, if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, if we remember how he got us past, got us through the past, if we're able to hold on to the promises of God, it will propel you to greater glories. It will propel you to greater intimacy with the Lord that you have never, ever experienced. For those of us who are going through hard and difficult times, I believe the Lord is drawing you closer to Himself. He's allowing you to experience some of the greater depths of Himself. All the promises of God will be fulfilled. You will be richly rewarded. If you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? Let me just say, you will be richly rewarded. And all the promises of God will be fulfilled. Hold on. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. In your heart, embrace the suffering, embrace the grind, embrace the hunger, embrace it all. Because there is something greater coming. Let us pray. I believe some of us may be tempted to walk away from whatever the Lord may be calling you. Some of us may be tempted to walk away from some of the promises that He gave you, but I want to remind you that there is a recompense for everything that's been taken, stolen, destroyed. That He will repay you and repay you even greater than what's been taken. God is going to give those things back to you. Friends, families, possessions, even your joy. I believe there's some of us here that Satan has stolen and tried to destroy some of our joy, some of our peace. I believe the Lord will recompense you, restore that to you. Some of us, we need to laugh at the sight of danger, the sight of the suffering. Laugh it off, because the Lord is going to restore and repay you. All the promises of God will be fulfilled. Greater than our wildest imagination, you will be richly rewarded. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father, Lord, I pray for those of us who may be struggling with embracing some of the difficult times we're going through, day in and day out. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray for a Holy Spirit adrenaline rush, that we won't even feel the pain, even if it's just for a moment. We thank you, Jesus, that you embraced the cross for the joy that was set before you. And I pray that we, as your disciples, we too will embrace the cross for the joy that you have set before us. That we would make up our mind to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for closing song. I will do the first verse, pre-chorus, verse, and the bridge of Christ Is Enough. To the chorus and then go to the bridge. Christ is my reward.
Christ is my reward in all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy.
See the love of God, the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit as you move forward to the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, thanks for joining us. If you like prayer, we'd love to pray for you. If not, have a great Sunday.